This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9 with a little tinkling band in the background. We've got in the studio with us...
Phil,
sitting
right here.
Thank you indeed, Phil.
Just by coincidence sitting in front of a microphone.
And someone else who's sitting in front of a microphone is...
Gordon, and I'm sitting in front of an orchestra that's playing in the background.
You were.
Yes.
You were indeed.
They came back.
They came back. Yeah, they came back in the door. Okay. Right.
Yes, that fading sound is actually the door closing.
Is that what it is?
Because they're just too noisy to speak over.
Oh, good.
But the guys come in every week. They're so loyal.
They're very loyal, aren't they?
Yeah. The band should have a name, though. Have they either been there, done that band?
No, they certainly are not. David Benoit is the name of the cool jazz band that provides our theme track. And this track is actually called Snow Dancing. Thanks very much for joining us on our little stumble through the airwaves. We've got 1 hour of weird and wonderful music and favourite tracks from yesteryear or next year. We've got some interesting topical topics to talk about.
But there are some very interesting things that have been happening in the last few weeks and what's happening in history.
Oh, exactly. But more importantly, what's happening at the moment?
Well, we could sort of go to Phil's favourite place.
Hawaii.
Hawaii, and they're having a horrible time in Hawaii.
There was a great big bang, a giant kaboom.
Was that the Big Bang Theory or was it something else?
No, this one's actually not theory, it's practice.
Yes.
And it was a major earthquake, and poor old Pele has been woken up. She must be pretty old by now. She's the goddess of fire.
What's she, the Polynesian god of fire or something, is she?
Yeah. Okay. And she's spitting up trouble in the Big Island.
Isn't the Big Island getting bigger because of her?
That's why they call it the Big Island. Well, no, they do that because it's the biggest of the islands. But it's not getting smaller.
Mm.
And it's just expanding.
Slowly.
Well, I mean, all the islands were formed exactly the same way.
Mm.
So this is not news. It's been happening for millions of years.
Oops, yes.
It's news when your house gets caught up in the lava flow and you lose everything.
Mm. Whoa, yeah, that's not very...
That's rude.
Nice. That is, yeah, a bit tough. But surely the people on the Big Island and the other islands are sort of used to this event.
They're not surprised, but no. I'm sure they're upset when it's your house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well.
I wonder what the zoning is. You know, you've got different zones of land and one might be residential or commercial.
Well, I would say that.
Would it be lava flow?
It would be risky.
They'd have risk, high risk, dangerous.
Don't build here.
Yes.
The ground smoke and move.
You'd want to have everything, all your personal documents and files and everything in some small carryable
thing. Backed up on the cloud.
Yeah, that's right. Or you have a burnt CD of it all. It's the same as here in the fires that we have here in Victoria. You really need to have everything put somewhere safe. So
there are downsides to living almost anywhere.
In the world.
Melbourne is rather boring. In that what we call an earthquake is barely a tremor. We do have non-extreme weather. Bushfires generally don't make it into built-up areas. So the risks here are fairly low. In Hawaii, they're fairly low, although you can get tropical storms.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Island, the risk is known. California, the risk is known that you're going to have earthquakes.
Yeah.
In Italy, Mount Etna is still active, or Vesuvius, one of the two.
Yeah. And people don't move.
No. But they learn to live with it.
But on the television the other night, they were saying that Kilauea, the volcano on Hawaii, is the most active volcano in the world.
Mm.
Well, it hasn't got much competition. I mean, it's spewing lava.
But the main thing is the sulfur fumes. Apparently, for people
it's
with...
It's unpleasant.
Very unpleasant, yeah.
Now, we know what lava is called when it's underground.
Magma.
Yeah, Magna was a Mitsubishi.
Magna is Dabansky.
Yeah. Zabansky, yes.
wrong.
And I think you mixed up Mount Etna with Dame Edna.
Because
she's erupting all the time.
No, she's retired.
Well, that's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really. Not on our list of topics.
In ancient history, we have peoples that used to throw their firstborn into the mouth of the volcano to appease them, quieten them down. Thank goodness there ain't too many active volcanoes now, and we've been able to survive. Something else that is topical at the moment is budget. Budget time. State budget and federal budget. And there seems to be all sorts of magic tricks being pulled out of the boxes by the politicians. There's been all the state print stuff, and now the feds have come along and they're making promises. We just happen to know that the smoke and mirrors is the first sign of budgets.
But these budgets are brought to us by the letter E, which stands for election.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, yes.
Or more dangerously, a pre-election budget.
Pre-election budget, yes.
And they manage to promise the world, don't they?
Well, they do, and that's the idea of they want your votes.
All politicians have their own interest at heart, and they are very generous with their largesse. However, there must be some little folded over corner of their budget papers where they're going to find the money from.
It's the thing that they do to get themselves re-elected. Every party does it. They just give money to the seats where they want to win.
Oddly enough, we know they're not going to do it. Mm. They're not going to keep the promises because they never have, with the exception of the plebiscite for gay marriage, which could have been just signed off in Parliament. But they forced it on the public at great public expense.
Yeah.
And that was the promise that we made and we've got to keep it.
Well, of course, that's going to be possibly in the federal election, whenever that is held, where some of the new extreme right are going to try and turn back the tide.
It has to be before May next year.
Yeah.
Is the next election. So this will be the last budget before an election, unless they have another budget right before the election.
Yeah, well, the state budget will get that out of the way truly before Dan Andrews has to go to an election.
Well, he's got to go in November.
And also ScoMo will have his budget out before the federal election. This is where they've just got to make their pitch, isn't it?
That would be the ScoMo's one this year could be the pre-election budget. But the one that they've just given for the state government is the pre-election budget because we have to go to polls in November. I think it's November the 28th. I think it is the 4th.
Promises.
That's all it is. Because some of the commentators have been saying that it's the hidden stuff that is underneath that is going to be the stuff we haven't heard because we've heard the big budget stuff so far.
It's all smiles and glamour.
It's the stuff they announce on the day before Christmas so that it won't make the papers.
Oh, that's right. Or 11 o'clock Friday night, so it misses the weekend papers. By the time Monday comes around, it's
I hope
boring.
We're not sounding sceptical.
Or cynical. For that to be.
I am so cynical when it comes to this time of the election cycle. I just don't believe anything that they say.
Oh, you do the rest of the year?
No, not really either. So.
You with Gordon, Phil and Chris, been there, done that, Joy 94.9. Let's have a little bit of music.
Our community is stronger with Joy. Become a member, joy.org.au.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Take us with you anywhere.
You're with Phil, Chris and Gordon. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us.
And a big cheerio to Michelle if she's listening. You're having a wonderful time, Michelle. Yeah.
Yay.
And of course, what about Nina?
And Cupcake.
Yeah, hello Nina. Hello Cupcake.
I'm not allowed to eat cupcakes.
Aren't you allowed to eat cupcakes?
No.
I don't think you're allowed.
Not dog ones anyway.
I don't think Nina would let you.
And do you have a little person listening at home when you're in here at Joy?
He watches TV.
Oh.
Because I can't actually receive Joy at my premises.
Oh dear, oh dear.
I'm in a a blackout zone.
A blackout zone.
You would be able to hear it in your car radio, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah. The home stereo one is just the antenna, even the antenna on our roof just won't get it. So thank God for podcasts.
Yeah, that's what podcasts are all about.
Some people do enjoy listening to Joy because of our special messages, but there are countries in the world who don't actually have any representations in their social environment. But in Nepal, there is a movement to get their little gay radio station up and running with more GLBTI shows because there aren't enough people from the community helping them to make programs.
It would be a very, wouldn't be a huge community there, would it? You wouldn't have thought of being LGBTI people, but there must be because we're everywhere, like they say in the advert. I would think that there would be enough people there, but they're looking for presenters or something on their radio show.
They certainly are. Well, Nepal is one of the few countries in the world that recognise a third gender on passports and official documents. Oh. So they've got a degree of awareness, but it's the public awareness that needs to be raised. If they've got government's ear, that's one good thing. But there are more gay people in the general community that come and can come in and make radio programs. And so the independent FM station that they've got going there, representing the gay community, are putting the call out
for
programs. Well, we know here that there are 260 or nearly 300 volunteers that go to make up our 7x24 programs a week.
And also, Chris, we didn't know anything about presenting on radio until we were trained to do it. We still don't know what we're doing on the radio, I must admit, but, you know, this is a thing, isn't it? They need somebody there that has the ability to train them so that they know what they're doing when they sit in front of a microphone.
But would it still be difficult as a personal decision, because you're coming out, essentially, to the nation?
Yeah, but if they have passports with a third gender, I'm sure that they wouldn't have that much trouble, would they?
Yeah, but they've still got problems with persecution and discrimination.
Oh, well, that happens everywhere, doesn't it?
That does happen everywhere, but it's exactly the same problems that we've been going through that we're hopefully been able to put behind us.
Yeah, but it's a good luck to them anyhow, and it's great to see that there might be another LGBTI radio station in the world.
Well, yeah, even if it's only part-time.
Yeah, because we're only one of three full-time LGBTI radio stations, aren't we?
That's right. A gay Nepal man apparently is reported, according to Gay Star News, that he is fearing for his life after a UK court outed him in UK. He hopes to stay in the UK because he fears reprisal for his sexuality for being gay if he goes back to Nepal.
It's amazing, isn't it? We're saying that there is homophobia everywhere.
Yeah, about, and people are so nervous about the whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it still exists here.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
As far as we go, there's a certain type of person who has to die out.
Yes,
before our lives will ever improve.
Well, you've got certain church groups and things like that that have completely.
But
against
in Myanmar,
there's another country, isn't it?
Well, that you might think white is behind the times. However, their first GLBTI choir is giving people a voice for the first time. Now, these are people who are collected together and with the confidence that a group of people
can have.
Then muster is an opportunity for them to come out and do a very, very regular and ordinary thing rather than being provocative. They're just being able to sing. And singing is an activity that knows no boundaries.
Well, that's right, because it's music. Music is the universal language, really, isn't it? Whether it's got words to it or just a sound, there's music. And choirs, of course, are great breakthroughs for a group of people like that to go and sing in because there's safety in numbers to start with.
Yeah.
And
well, earlier this year there was a pride festival in Myanmar and it was held in the capital Yangon or Rangoon, I think it's in the old English language. Mm-hmm. But was attended by thousands of people. And the new at Proud GLBT choir held its first performance in front of these thousands of people. And despite having understandable nerves ahead of the show, they were a hit with festival goers.
I could imagine that quite easily.
Yeah.
You know, it's so good luck to them. And once they get established and they could singing around, they probably finish up touring around the country, I would think. Yeah.
Well, they've got an image problem in Myanmar, like in a lot of countries, where the gay characters are often depicted as the butt of a joke, as sexual predators or people who could be cured of their gender or sexual identity. So it's
Modern thinking, isn't it?
It is modern. Mm. Well, it's not all that old-fashioned here.
No.
So it's good
well, there
for
are
them.
Still people in, let's say, positions of power that would like to deprogram us.
Yes, that's right, yes. But you're not a computer, so they can't do it.
We've got to keep our program running.
Mm. Yeah. But it's very good that they're moving into the realm of understanding of what sexuality and gender is all about.
You're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9.
Magnus Hirschfeld was a German sexologist in the early 20th century known as the Einstein of sex.
Well, he knew all about it, didn't he?
Well, his pioneering work in this field of sexology was the first and he was the first person to systematically describe and work with what he described as transvestite and transsexual people. He considered transsexualism to be a form of intersex condition, a view that it is increasingly held by many today. But what we would generally say, I think, is that there is no binary, there is a spectrum.
Hmm.
And everybody with sexuality is on that spectrum somewhere.
But Chris, you'd have to think that when he was working on this thing, it was pre the turn of the century, wasn't it? It would have been...
No, the 20th century.
I'm talking about the 20th century, back in, because he was born in 1868. So he would have been, at the turn of the century, he would have been in his 30s, where he would have been getting into this stuff. So I would imagine that he would have been very, very well ahead of his... ahead of his thinking on this subject than most other people.
Of course, in those days, we were all considered to be sexually deviant people.
Mm.
And we weren't generally looked on favourably.
That's true too, but it's he was... unfortunately, he didn't... he came through with the rise of Hitler, of course, which was the thing that crueled his work, although there are still lots of his... reports and theses and what have you in private in public libraries all around the world.
Well, he left Germany in 1932 to live in Paris, and he died not having returned to Germany.
No. But he was amazing, you know, because he was born on the 14th of May and he died on the 15th of May and he died on the 15th of May.
Died
on his birthday.
That's
happy birthday.
Well, it makes you wonder whether that was engineered or whatever.
Yeah.
1868 to 1935, indeed. But, Hirschfeld did all these university studies and things, and it was well documented. But would you believe that under the Nazis, over 100,000 gay men and trans women were arrested for breach of paragraph 175 of the German Penal Code, which struck out behaviour of those types. The crime of homosexuality was basically the rule under the German paragraph 175. And 15,000 of them were sent to the concentration camps where they were required to wear the pink triangle.
That's right.
But many of them were simply drugged and subjected to electrical shock treatments in the search for a cure for homosexuality. Well,
but the funny part about it was that Hitler was so against it, yet some of his top echelon of brass, top brass, were actually gay men.
Yeah.
You know, so where does it get you? You know, it's just amazing. They were able to hide it or... they had some sort of control, I guess.
That particular paragraph, the 175, was not actually repealed until 1969.
Mm.
I mean, 45 years after the end of the war.
Mm.
So, dear, oh dear, oh dear. But at the Nuremberg trials, where the war crimes, the crime trials were held, no mention was ever made of crimes against homosexuals. No SS officials were ever tried for specific atrocities against Pink Triangle prisoners. And many of the known SS doctors who had performed operations on homosexuals were never brought to account for their actions.
Oh, no, because we were deviants, so why worry?
Well,
you know,
yeah, that very, was the problem. very yeah, sad.
Yeah.
Oh, golly gosh, let's have a little bit of Heather Small. She's proud. And yeah, we should be.
Of course we should. Out and loud and proud.
That's joy.
I look into the window of my mind. Reflections of the fears I know.
Our community is stronger with Joy. Become a member, joy.org.au.
Hi, we're the Top Twins and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. Chris, Phil and Gordon and the Top Twins, they're a New Zealand musical pair of sisters.
Yes, they're twins, but they're not identical, which is one thing about the Top Twins. But boy, are they great entertainers. They're actually national treasures in New Zealand. They've been made national treasures, the pair of them. So, yes. Yeah,
and
so,
they're gay.
And
of
they're
course.
gay women, yes, both gay women. So and one of them had a very serious illness with cancer, and she's been able to come through that. So,
wow.
Yeah, so they're going pretty well. But also in New Zealand at this time of the.
They seem to have their place sorted out reasonably
they,
well.
Well, they lead the world in lots of things. And but they did a. We're coming up to the, I think the 3rd of May, was it? Was the Treaty of Waitangi?
It was, yes, back on the 3rd of May in 1840. And that New Zealand officially became a British colony.
Yeah.
And that meant that everybody on board New Zealand had to turn around and salute the flag.
But the Maoris didn't want to do that.
But they were there first.
Oh, yeah, this is right. But then again, they were a race that didn't take they were a fighting race
yeah
and so that they didn't so they, like the thing so they fought the whites
all right
mm,
mm. And that's why the nickname of New Zealand is that it's the land of the wrong white crowd.
Yes, that's right. Yes, but it's a
I it, speak some Kiwi too.
Do you?
What's a Hindu?
Lays eggs.
That's right, mate.
but the Treaty of Waitangi was the culmination of a huge go between the local Maori population and the whites, and they had to come to a treaty to sort of stop what was happening, and the treaty gave the Maoris seats in Parliament and that sort of thing.
What's the selling pitch though? What does the white man come and tell? I guess the natives, the indigenous population.
That
we're going to civilize you and bring you Western treasures, or
yeah.
Well, but they've been living there for thousands of years, and they when we get
and they had property rights of
that's
their
right,
own,
yes,
and they had their connection to country,
the, yeah. But they had and they and, were very
and that
very
what
hard.
Was, what was overridden mm. or overruled by the adopting
the
by,
white the white settlers,
yeah.
Mm, mm.
Why was that acceptable, though?
It shouldn't have been.
Why did the Commonwealth believe that everybody wanted them to take over their countries?
Well, is that just an ego thing? It was the British attitude at the time. You know, the British basically ruled the world because the sun never set on the British Empire. It started off in New Zealand and went right around the world at one stage, including America, as you know. But and then it wasn't until the Americans decided to become the United States of America and get rid of England.
They didn't want taxation without representation.
That's right. And then so what happened was they had nowhere to send the prisoners from England to America, so they sent them to Australia. So what about taking them down south to Australia? So that's how we came to be here. And, of course, the British that followed were of the opinion that they knew everything that was going on in the world, that the local people did nothing.
Well, just by the simple naming of Australia as being Terra Nullius. It's a land of nothing.
Land of nothing. But
and, you know, the local inhabitants were
our indigenous
nothing.
Population had been here for 60,000 years and knew how to work the land and not destroy it.
But they were, as opposed to New Zealand, where they stuck up for themselves and got a treaty, our indigenous people
were more passive.
Well, they were passive and they were slaughtered.
Of some of them, points of difference because there were quite a few Aboriginal
as a single race.
Yeah, they had a lot of tribes, but there were certain tribes that did fight back.
And they've
been. You often see it on stories about them on the television.
Well, the Waitangi Agreement, the Maoris agreed to hand over ownership of their land to the Queen and in return were to retain the right to occupy their land as long as they wished and to be protected in so doing.
Yes, that's right.
So that is not unreasonable form of agreement or treaty.
That's right.
But we haven't got anything quite like that. Well, here in Australia, have we?
If you mention a treaty to the politicians, they get run scared, like they don't want to have a treaty. I don't know what they expect
to. Well, I thought we had a meeting recently.
Well, we had the Uluru. We had the Uluru statement that the Indigenous community spent years getting the group together to work out something that would be accessible or good for the government to work on. They presented it to the government and Mr. Turnbull read and said, we're not taking any notice of it. Like, there's all these years of work from our Indigenous people and they just threw the whole thing out of the Parliament without even considering it because there was something that they didn't like. They said, no, that would mean there'd be a third House of Parliament. It was only a consultative body, that was all it was. You know, it's just, to me, that it's just wrong. It's utterly wrong.
And once again, it was, you people don't exist in our brain.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about, you know. Thank you. It's just horrible the way that the Indigenous people are being treated. But anyhow, it'd have to be a whole complete change of government or change of mind before anything will happen.
I think so, definitely. Alison Goldfrapp, born on the 13th of May 1966, English musician and record producer, and she's best known as a lead vocalist of the electronic music duo Goldfrapp.
Yeah, named after her, of course.
Of course.
Yes. Why wouldn't you have a band named after yourself? But she's very popular here on Melbourne's Most Uplifting Music Mix because she's played all the time.
Yes, and she does. We've got a little track here called Believer.
All right, I'm a believer.
No, that's another song.
Joy Podcasts. Where you want them, when you want them. joy.org.au or your preferred platform.
You're with Gordon, Phil and Chris. Been there, done that on Joy 94.9. We've had a couple of birthdays already referred to in this show, but let's have a sadder event, and that was the passing on the 12th of May 2001 of an icon here in Melbourne, an entrepreneur, Jan Hillier. Now, she was a very, very active and effective lesbian in the...
She was a leader of the community because she did things for the community and got things going.
Excellent. What a good way of describing her.
Yep. And she was a wonderful woman, an absolutely wonderful woman. I knew Jan quite well. And she was great...
She got the first of the gay dancers going in the 60s, late 60s and the 70s and things like this.
Yeah, she used to pretend that they were having a birthday party. Somebody was always having a birthday, so she would have a party for their birthday.
Oh, right.
And that's the way they got around the law or hiring out some of the halls where she used to hire.
Oh, yeah.
She said it would be a birthday party and we're having 80 people would be here or something rather than like 200 turn up or something rather. But it was just one of the way Jan worked. She realised how to get round the little idiosyncrasies of the licensing laws and the way that people didn't like gays or people using their church hall or something or other, but she managed to do it very, very well. And then she moved in from then. She decided that there had to be some entertainment from the drag community, so she opened Pokies.
Well, there was an interesting showgirl group just up the road on the top end of Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. It was known as... it was Lay Girls, and it later on became This Is The Show. And, of course, if you do the capital letter of that, This Is
Comes
The
out
Show.
Tits.
Oh, stop it. and so much of the community would go there.
Yeah, that's right.
But, as you said, Jan organised for the showgirls to come down to the other end of Fitzroy Street in the first floor rooms of the Prince of Wales Hotel. And therefore, there was a dance group, there was dance music. She used to put on very, very basic food, yes.
Lots of booze.
And lots of booze. And Sunday night was magnificent.
Everybody that was anybody was at the POW on a Sunday night, and her shows were absolutely amazing.
He came up and said, look, I don't mean to complain, but somebody's having sex under my table. And I said, what? It was my dance. She said, we're sitting down here. I said, where? And in those days, I served cabana, celery, you know, you used to pay, I think, $2, I can't remember, $2 or $3, but it was cheap. I was always cheap to get in, contrary to what everybody says. I'm the mega millionaire, I'm not. Anyhow, so over to her table I went, and we had the cabana and the celery and everything on the table, and the tablecloth was hanging down to the floor. And I said, there's nobody rooting here. She said, yes, lift that tablecloth. And there was a guy and a girl going hell for leather. So I lifted up my foot and pushed his ass and said, get up from... Hey, I swore then.
That's all right. We'll let you do that, Jan.
I said, get up off that floor and get out of this dance immediately. And I thought, after your luck, I haven't had one for 6 months.
And the only reason that that all faded out was, well, of course, she died in 2001, but a lot of the gay community had got not only their training wheels, they got so much experience and confidence that they too carried on with the pub scene
but
situation.
They went to different areas. They went up to Paran in South Yarra area.
Oh, yeah. Also, there was some pubs on North Side, the Union Hotel.
That's right.
In Carlton North.
And then they spread out a little bit further. But for a while there, the main gay community concentration was in South Yarra, Commercial Road.
Yeah.
But then it gradually started to go. But the Laird had always been there when it became a great gay pub. It started to spread out a little bit to the north side because the north side said they didn't want to have to keep going to the south side.
Now, it's interesting that those zones are sort of fading
away now. Where are they?
Yeah, they are. That's right.
But you've got individual hotels.
But San Francisco has just actually approved the Gay and Leather Cultural District.
That's a wonderful thing for the in San Francisco, because for a long time the rents and everything have been huge in there, but now they're trying to get some control over it or something, aren't they?
Now, this Leather and GLBTQ Cultural District is south of Market in SoMo. Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce it, Phil? Or is it...
Outsiders might...
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's a bit like, various areas of New York have got their nicknames. But Market Street is like it's a major thoroughfare.
It's got the trams in it, hasn't it?
It's got the trams, not the cable cars, they're actually trams.
No, they're actually trams. They go from the top of the Market Street right down to the port buildings, yeah.
Yes, I spent an afternoon after the earthquake watching them detach the flagpole on top of the port building.
Oh, right.
They had this huge Chinook helicopter, which shook the whole town. Big monster. And we're watching, they're trying to cut it off at the base, and they've got it tied to the helicopter. And they finally got it off, and we're watching this, and the helicopter goes to take off, and the flagpole slips from its grip Next thing you hear is the sound of breaking glass as it breaks the ceiling of the building.
Oh, no.
So they were having a bad day.
Yeah, but Market Street is basically the main street of San Francisco.
Mm. Yeah, and up the other end you've got Castro Street.
Intersects.
We've got North Side, South Side. They've got the Market Street as the division.
Yeah. Mm.
In Vancouver, a 30-year-old gay club there has closed at the end, will close at the end of June. And it was one of these sort of that generation, as Pokies was here and some of the other clubs around. And they said that their closing was down to three or a few major factors: real estate prices and rents making it harder to turn a profit, more people hooking up via apps rather than being on the scene, and LGBTI people feeling more comfortable socialising in more mainstream establishments than just sort of hiding away in our own clubs.
Chris, that's what's happening here.
And that's sort of a degree of equality that we've always been fighting for. Mm. So it's a positive sign in a way.
Is it good or bad?
It is good or bad.
Yeah.
The good thing about it was you would go out and you would meet people and you would chat and talk to them. These days on social media, just you're staring at a little screen or listening to somebody talking to you over your phone.
Well, the irony of social media is it's so antisocial.
Yeah, it is so antisocial. You're right there. Yeah.
Well, apparently London is going through a bit of a rebirth. There's a new 750-year capacity gay club in the heart of the city. Circa Soho is up and running.
See, Soho gets away with that sort of morphing of names.
Yeah, but when you see Soho, you don't realise how small it is.
Yeah.
It's only a small area. You
know? Well, so is Castro Street in
San
Francisco.
Castro is, yeah.
But it's very loud.
Yeah.
But what's interesting with the London new club is the fact that the Lord Mayor of London, a non-practising Muslim,
Mr. Khan,
has actually said, this is good for us. It's good for tourism. Mm-hmm. We welcome you back into the heart of London to provide vibrancy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll tell you what, he's not bad looking either.
Oh, wow. Stop it.
Yes.
I'm speechless.
No, you're not. You've never been speechless, Philip.
And, of course, we've got to say happy birthday to Armistead Maupin on the 13th of May. He was born in 1944, and he was one of those he was a writer, who we mentioned last week, who wrote the tales of that city in his books, The Tales of the City.
He would have been happy with the LGBTI leather scene being established in San Francisco.
Exactly.
He'd be very, very happy.
Tell us, please, what is Castro Street known for in San Francisco?
It is the gay district. Mm. There are live venues, gay bookstores. It's a vital and vivid community.
On the corner of Castro and Market Street is a hotel, and they call it the Elephant's Graveyard because that's where all the old gays go and meet.
And unfortunately, it has a balcony.
Yes.
And when you're walking along the street, you don't just get wolf whistles.
Yes.
But may I say, Curtis and I were flattered.
Yes, and just down the street is the wonderful Castro Theatre, which is an absolute glorious place inside. And that's where they show a lot of films and stuff.
Didn't actually get inside, but
it's lovely. It's gorgeous.
It's a piece of history, though.
They wanted to pull it down at one stage, and
that'd go down well.
The gay community stopped them from doing that. Yes,
yeah,
it was their theatre.
Mm. It's been a while since I've been there, but it was almost frozen in time, the district. Yeah. And it's a nice district.
It is nice, yes.
And
very hilly.
Rainbow flags hanging out windows. And it just, as a gay person, it's a very safe place.
Mm. Right.
It just feels safe. Which you wouldn't say about Commercial Road in its day or whatever. It was still
there's still people that
still a little bit repressed or hidden. But I think in Australia, the same-sex marriage debate and plebiscite or whatever you want to call that political activity, when everybody started to show the yes case and there was a rainbow everywhere up and down the streets in what you would call ordinary straight shopping centres. And that was sort of the indication, Phil, that you got in the Castro area.
In Castro, you knew it was fellow gay people, and I would imagine the flags you'd see in the suburbs would still be gay people, but there was a certain feeling of courage behind it.
Yep.
Even in Richmond, some of the high-rise apartment buildings that have either yes windows or rainbow flags.
Yes, yes.
And it's just nice sitting there on the train thinking, well, we're not alone.
No, we're not alone.
And there is support, and it's...
And we had, let's face it, it wasn't only the gay vote that got that marriage equality through. It was the straight vote, the people that with common sense that understood that we were no threat to society from getting married.
Well, and equality is a good thing to have.
Yeah.
And if you believe the sky is going to fall, it will fall for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the rest of us.
Not the rest of us. It was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I was talking to a friend of mine or a woman that I know, and they're getting married just a bit later this year. Yeah, so that's nice.
Well, we had a gay proposal on The Voice TV show
last week. Yes. I saw that when you mentioned it last week. I checked it up and it came through on a feed that I got, and I watched it and I thought, oh, well, good on you.
Yeah, and so 3 years ago that would have been highly controversial, and it was just promoted as a beautiful thing.
That's right.
Which is what it is.
That's what it is.
They've been together 6 years, and that boy can sing.
Yeah.
Tell you what.
Well, Matthew Mitchum did his little bit when he raced over at the end of his
dive
and gave his boyfriend the big wet one.
And nobody else has done that in the Olympic Games either.
No.
No.
But that was... actually a beautiful thing to see, apart from being very attractive.
Yeah.
But just the unadulterated joy.
Yeah.
The joy and
expressing
sharing it.
Yeah.
And sharing it with his partner.
Yeah. And the TV cameras didn't turn away.
No.
Which is really nice.
Yeah, but a lot of them didn't turn... They didn't turn away, but a lot of countries didn't show it. They cut it out of their broadcasts.
Well, it's...
Telecasts.
It's, you don't... If the winner's not in your country... I mean, how much German coverage did we see?
Yeah, well, how much of any other country did we see in the Commonwealth Games? Yes.
Okay, it's about time for us
to go again.
It does, but so we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.